Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. I am actually not in studio. I am up in Orem, Utah. I'll be here today and tomorrow for the 4A State Basketball Championships. But thankfully, we have a couple of great guests that are in studio. Stockton is there hanging out with them as well here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And in studio, a couple of school resource, well, one school resource officer, one guy who's in charge of school resource officers, is Sergeant Jared Carson and Officer Cody Layton. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing great, Andy. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
I'm great. Thank you for coming on today. Really appreciate you guys being here. A couple of things we want to talk to before we really get rolling, or talk about before we really get rolling. One of them is cops and robbers. Now, Officer Layton, I understand that's kind of your baby, right?
Yeah, that is my baby.
Tell us about what it is, and cops and robbers. We played that when we were kids, but this is different.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing actually. So it's a race. We have a 1K for the kids. We've got a 5K and a 10K we introduced last year. And so when you register through the races division with the city, you can sign up as a cop or a robber. And the robbers actually get about a 60-second head start. We send them off first, and then the cops make chase. And it's a lot of fun, good fun family event. We have lots of agencies that come in and bring their cars, and you can hang out. And after you're done racing, we usually have a company donate a bunch of donuts for the end of the race to eat and hang out and have some fun.
What's the date again on that?
That is May 18th.
Okay. Cops and robbers on May 18th. Now, I'm guessing, officer, that you guys, because of your PTO and your test you have to pass and everything, you got 5K, 10K, probably not a big deal for you police officers.
No, not true? A big deal at all. We usually catch most of the robbers by the end of the race, yeah.
Have you ever gotten a really fast robber that you just couldn't catch?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the kids, man. They're fast, and they just go forever. So we got to catch those little ones.
Got the endless energy, I guess. Now, is this like a fundraiser, or just kind of get to know the police thing, or what's the impetus behind this?
Yeah, so we wanted to just kind of have an event for our community to get to know us a little bit better, to have some fun. And just kind of spend the day with us. And we thought about it. This is our third year, and we partnered with City Races Division. They're great to work with, and they've helped us through kind of the logistics of all of it. And so this is our third year, and we're hoping to hit 1,000 runners. So anybody that's listening, come sign up and have some fun with us.
Now you're a school resource officer, right? Which means you're at a middle school. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I'm at Snow Canyon Middle School. So
you deal with a lot of these young people, and you know the energy that they have. So it's been a special challenge for maybe someone who's not as young as some of those middle schoolers.
Yeah, that's right. But you know what? It's still all chip timed, and so regardless of whether or not you catch any robbers, we got some good swag, and it really is a good time.
Well, do it for the donuts anyway, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to that. That's a couple of months away, but you get the best way to register. Just go to the St. George City website? Or
yeah, so races, the races division races at St. George City. And you can sign up through them. And again, you can pick whether or not you want to be a cop or a robber. The swag that you get will vary on, you know, the cops get a certain T-shirt, the robbers get a different color T-shirt, and but yeah, through the City Races website is where you'll sign up.
Sounds like a really cool thing. I'm not much of a runner is the thing. I'd rather play pickleball than run.
But hey, you can walk it.
There you go. Or maybe I'll do the 1K. I think I can do, what's that, like 6/10 of a mile?
Yes, yes.
I think I can do that one.
There you go.
So. All right, Sergeant Carson and Jared Carson also with us today. He's in charge of the school resource officers. How many, Sergeant Carson, how many SROs do we have right now in St. George?
Just in for St. George City, we have 13 total SROs. So we added a new one this last school year with the opening of Career Tech High School.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And it's such a unique job, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but maybe you can talk a little bit about, again, what is expected of a school resource officer. It's not your average police officer. You're not patrolling. You're not writing tickets. It's about developing relationships, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our biggest goal is mentorship. So our goal is to interact with students, parents, and faculty and staff to kind of hopefully build that relationship between each of those groups where they have a person that they can speak to on the law enforcement side. So if they have a law-related question, they know and can identify who they need to speak to. But oftentimes, many of our SROs, they do more than just answer law questions. They answer life questions with mentoring and counseling and also help facilitate resources that maybe the school district doesn't necessarily have access to, but we have access through the city or through the county and through our other law enforcement partners throughout the city and county.
We've talked about this in the past, but so much more is required with an SRO than any position in any police force, because as you mentioned, not only do they have to obviously be a law enforcement officer, but they're involved in counseling, they're involved in mentoring, they're involved in trying to help these kids navigate the kind of landmines that are teenagerhood. That's putting a lot on guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, our SROs are all up for the challenge, and they face some unique challenges. You know, obviously, we never always fully understand what kids and family dynamics are going through every single day, and sometimes those dynamics are doing well, sometimes they're not doing as well, and being able to see a young person day in and day out helps us to identify when things are trending in a downward way, and we can hopefully help intervene and maybe correct that and hopefully change that trajectory for that young person. Yeah, our goal is really to provide everybody the opportunity to succeed with whatever resources we have available to us. And sometimes the simplest things are just us having a simple conversation with a young person and allowing them to vent their frustrations that they may not have be able to in other places.
You know, we talked about this when we were talking about Shop with a Cop and the fact that a lot of these kids, these young people, their only really interaction with members of the police force is when something maybe bad is happening in their home. So I'm guessing an SRO can maybe be one of those guys that helps to bridge that gap, because if a kid, you know, the only thing he's ever seen is when, you know, a police officer comes out for a domestic abuse or kids or parents are on drugs or something, they kind of have a bad idea of what a police officer is.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, for us, for our interaction, sometimes our only interaction with a young individual sometimes could be law enforcement related, and those are unfortunate. But typically, for the most part, we've had many or multiple interactions with a young person just simply by saying, hi, how are you? How are things going? How was your weekend? Did you enjoy the game? You know, all of those things that come along with being involved in school. And like I said, for us, it's the amount of connections that we can make and interactions that we can have any given day, so that when those law enforcement incidents maybe come up, we can handle those in a much better and unique way rather than how it may typically be handled by a patrol officer or another officer out on the street.
I want to ask Officer Layton a question real quick. Cody, when you're kind of your day-to-day with these kids, what is it like for you? Do you try to come off as an authority figure? I've been around athletics my whole life, and there's a thing called the player's coach, and then there's a thing called the disciplinarian coach. Do you have to try to split the middle or something like that? You want to be their friends, but you also, I guess they need to know that you are in a position of authority.
Yeah, it's kind of a fine line that you have to walk, you know, because we do have to enforce the laws and the rules of the school and all of those things. But at the same time, like Sergeant Carson has already said, we have to be a mentor and we have to, you know, give them good advice and have them give them an opportunity to talk to somebody. You know, a lot of these kids don't have a strong household or someone, you know, school is the most stable place for some of these kids. And so to give them somebody to come and talk to that they can rely on, that they can trust, but also at the same time, you know, like you said, be that authority figure. And you know, I had an old assistant principal who I worked with for a lot of years at Snow Canyon Middle School, who he would always, you know, we'd have to call kids in for discipline reasons, and he would always say, look, I love you, I don't like the behavior, and here's your consequence for the behavior. You're a good kid. Come back Monday morning, and it's all behind us. And a lot of those kids have come back and told us, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm in nursing school now, or I'm in cosmetology school, whatever it is. And you really build some good relationships with these kids.
What's a day-to-day like for you, Officer Layton? Is it different every single day, or do you kind of have a routine of things you do on a daily basis?
It's a little bit of both. I do have a routine, you know, get there early as the doors are opened, greet kids as they're coming in, high-fiving, saying hello, seeing how their weekend was or the night before. Once school starts, I go around, make sure all the doors are secure, make sure bathrooms are clear, you know, and make sure no one's skipping class or anything like that. And then kind of just whatever the day brings. It could be dealing with fights or a lot of social media drama with the girls or, you know, stuff like that. And then, just a couple weeks ago, I went in and I have a presentation on social media safety and internet safety that I talked to some of our classes about, or go talk about the Constitution. So there's a ton of different things, and there's never a day that is the same.
You I guess you have to be a jack of all trades a little bit when you're doing a job like that. Huh? do you ever do assemblies? Do they have like a big assembly where you're the central speaker?
I haven't done any assemblies. We've done lots of classes. I am doing a bubblegum blowing challenge in the next assembly that we have. The student council came and asked if I would do that. And so, and that's another cool thing, is you get to have these interactions that are fun. And like we've already talked about, a lot of the interactions that kids have with police are not good. And so to be able to build relationships, you know, I've been at Snow Canyon for 6 years now, so you're up in Orem watching my boys play. Those are my kids that are playing, and congratulations to them on that win yesterday against Dixie. So I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, big win after losing twice.
Yeah.
Twice by double figures to Dixie, to come back and get a win in the third time around. That's a pretty big deal for the Snow Canyon kids. And by the way, just a reminder, folks, Snow Canyon plays tonight at 7:30. That's the boys. The girls actually play at 4:10 this afternoon here at the Utah Valley at the UCCU Center. So Snow Canyon girls and boys both playing in the semifinals of the state championships. That's really cool. Officer Layton, I'm curious too. When you see these kids move on like this, do you? I don't know how long you've been doing this, but do you have kids come to you down the road and say, "Hey, man, I remember this," or "I'm buddies here," or you know that you know I remember when we used to do this or whatever. Do you get that?
Yeah, I get that quite a bit actually. Seeing just kids, you know, at Walmart, or, you know, they come back to watch a football game. I had a group of kids that were actually kind of some of our trouble kids that caused us a lot of headaches, and they graduated a year or so ago, and they came and, "Hey, Officer Layton, how are you?" And it's cool to see them grow up and become successful.
Now this, you know, maybe we were immature back when I was in high school, but with the explosive hormones of teenagers and everything, one of the things that was super common when I went to school was guys getting into fights.
Yep.
Is that still common? Is that something you have to deal with on an almost daily basis still?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, some of the schools have more fights than others. We have a few at Snow Canyon, and that the good thing about boys though is they get mad at each other and they fight and punch each other in the face, and then they become best friends after that. It's the girls you have to worry about.
Really? I remember a couple of girl fights in high school, but mostly it was the guys doing dumb stuff.
Yep.
And a lot of times it was a clique, you know, it might be the Cowboys versus the Polynesians or the jocks versus whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, all right, the officer or Sergeant Carson, I know one of the things you want to talk about was SPEAR. Tell us what SPEAR means and what the goal of SPEAR is.
So our SPEAR Academy is our police department's summer academy that we kind of put together, and our first summer was actually last summer. So SPEAR stands for Student Police Education Achievement and Resilience. So it's an acronym for us that kind of hopefully blends together all the things that we do as SROs day in and day out. And this gave us an opportunity to, interact with our students throughout the summer that choose to come to this program, but B, it also gives us the opportunity to meet and greet some of our new students that are coming out of the elementary school setting and into the secondary setting. So one of our things that we found was that those kids that are coming into sixth grade, so they're accustomed to being mostly into one classroom. They do change classrooms a little bit, but they're in a school of maybe 150, 200 kids maybe at the most, and then as a sixth grader they walk into an intermediate building with 800 kids possibly in it, and changing classes to from maybe one or two class changes at an elementary to six to seven of them in a day can be a bit overwhelming. And so we've kind of identified that as one of our goals, to maybe help those kids when we have 20, 30, 40 fifth graders that get together. When they walk in that first day of school, hopefully they see kids from other elementary schools and go, hey, I know you from the summer program, and helps to start that that bond and helping them to better integrate into that secondary school setting. So it's been a great program. We had just over 350 kids that came through our program last summer. Uh-huh. And this year we're shooting for the moon, hopefully, and looking to get closer to 700 or 800 students that come through our summer program this summer.
Now, how do kids get involved with that? What's the best way if they do want to be a part of it?
So the best way is they can register through the city website, through Recreation, so sgcity.org, and then through the Recreation tab. Our registration will go live at the end of March. March 27th is when those registrations go live. So the month of June is meant for incoming sixth graders, so those that are have moved on from elementary and are going to be in the sixth grade. And we rotate, it's a week-long program, 4 days long, and we rotate through the different cone sites. So we will go to Dixie, Snow Canyon, Pine View, and Desert Hills. So if you live in those boundaries and you want to go during those times, we welcome you to sign up and go through your schools. We also, if you can't, but you still want to send your students through and you want to go through the Dixie one, but they live in Desert Hills, they absolutely can. It's not just restricted. And those individuals that live outside of St. George, we welcome those as well. We had kids from Hurricane. We had them from Washington, Santa Clara. We also had some out-of-state kids who were coming down to visit parents, and they attended our summer program as well. So, yeah, sgcity.org through the Recreation tab, and registration opens on that on March 27th.
Tell us again what SPEER stands for, the acronym again.
So SPEER stands for Student, Police, Education, Achievement, and Resilience.
Nice. Very, very nice. Awesome. We're talking with Sergeant Carson and Officer Layton, talking about the SPEER program a little bit, student resource officers, and trying to get to know these guys. How important, Officer Layton, is it for you to develop relationships with kids? And I guess there are different times. I mean, maybe like you said, that some of the troubled kids a little bit, and maybe some of the kids that you wouldn't necessarily deal that much with, some of the kids maybe the high achievers or the student government and people like that. How important are those relationships?
I mean, they're super important. I think, especially like we kind of talked about earlier, with all the hormones and all the changes and going to new schools, relationships mean everything. And not just our relationships with the kids, but the kids to have relationships with each other. So, this last summer we had a very big array of different types of kids from different backgrounds, and they were able to get together, put them in groups, and get to know each other. And so just relationships in general for the kids to have with each other, and then with us when they come to the new big school, the new intermediate school, the new middle school at the beginning of the year, and they walk through that door and they see someone that they recognize and know a little bit, it's very important to make them feel comfortable and safe at school.
Now, I don't know how old you guys are, but do you remember back when you were making those transitions where you're getting to a bigger school and you had to go to different classes and get to know all, you know, you were integrated with maybe three or four elementary schools fed into a middle school. And I mean, do you remember that time? And I do. I remember maybe more taking my daughters through that period than myself. But I just remember it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I do remember. I'm old enough to remember, but probably too old to forget. Either way, but yeah, I remember mine. I remember mine was transitioning from middle school to high school because I had a pretty good idea of the kids that surrounded us that went to my middle school. It was when I went to high school that changed everything, where you had three or four different middle schools that came into one high school, and going from, you know, from 700 or 800 kids to almost 2,500 kids at my high school. Ooh. That's, that was a huge change to walk into that big building and have to navigate those, especially as a freshman, where it was a bit different than it is here.
Where was this at?
This was up in Salt Lake. So I went to East High School.
Oh, East High School. Okay. Yeah. I similar to mine was compounded by the fact that my parents moved right before my freshman year from Texas up to Utah, and so for me, I had not only did I have to worry about, you know, new school, but it was completely new way of life, no friends and everything. And when we moved to Utah, my first little while, I went to Bingham High School, which had like 3,800. It was right before West Jordan formed.
Oh, right.
And we were, I mean, there were three to a locker. And I don't know if they even use lockers much anymore, but we had three to a locker, and it was just crazy. I didn't know anybody. And then the next year, the first year for West Jordan High School, we were down to like 2,400 students, is all, or whatever, the next year. Yeah, definitely a challenging time of life for these young people. It's nice that they have people like you, Officer Layton, to help guide them through some of these terrifying moments, and also have a program like SPEAR program to help them. Maybe break the ice a little bit before they get to that point. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. More with Sergeant Jared Carson and Officer Cody Layton with the School Resource Officers and St. George Police Department. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. Thank you for tuning in to the program. Appreciate Sergeant Carson and Officer Layton for being on the program today. We're talking about school resource officers today and a little bit about the SPEAR program, a little bit about the Cops and Robbers race coming up. A lot of fun. I'm curious, this question for Officer Layton. I'm curious, the relationship between you and the kids. One of the things that I think that kind of fascinates me is you develop, obviously, a personal relationship with a lot of these kids, but every once in a while you have to turn into the hardcore police officer. You've got to bust somebody. How difficult is that for you personally to have to kind of flip that switch and go from, you know, I love you, kid, I want to do everything for you, but I got to take care of business?
You know, It is tough sometimes because, you know, a lot of the behaviors that we see are from, you know, the bad behaviors, or the kids are going through some kind of crisis. But knowing that first and foremost, I'm a police officer, I'm there to protect the kids. I'm there to make sure that everything is going well and that rules are being followed. But I think what's unique about at least the officers that I know personally that work as school resource officers is there is a way to be that authority figure and still have their respect. You don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to yell at them. You don't have to do all those things. Sometimes it does take that, but at the end of the day, every time a kid walks out of my office, he knows that I care about him. He or she knows that I care about him, but I just don't care for the behavior that they were up to.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. In the news recently, there's a story, and I forget what part of the country it was in, but bullying ended up in the death of a student, and it had to do with a trans student. And I'm wondering, with some of the new challenges of modern society we have right now with transgenders and pronouns and things like that, how much does that touch you as a school resource officer on a daily basis? Is that something you have to deal with?
It is a little bit, but for us, we take it as we take each person as an individual, and we deal with that individual, and those things don't really matter to us. Our job is to keep kids safe and protect kids, regardless of any of those other issues that go along with that. So if we run into one of those, we treat them as we would any normal kid, because to us, they're just a normal kid, and we have to treat them as individuals. So for us, it's really a non-issue. We want to deal with the problems that are causing a kid to maybe feel unsafe or not want to come to school or any of those things that any kid really deals with, those challenges day in and day out. Like I said, family dynamics are a key part of some of the challenges that young people face, and we want to help those kids to navigate those challenges. And like I said, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's the outside world that they're having to navigate, and we want to try to help them navigate that as much as we can.
Sergeant Carson and Officer Layton, I want to ask you just about some of the things that we think of as being other places other than St. George, Utah, but stuff that, maybe it's here, maybe it isn't, maybe it's serious here, maybe it's not as serious. Things like, say, drug abuse or drug use in amongst our young people. Is that something real that we have to deal with a lot?
We face all the challenges of any large metropolitan area. The scale on them varies, and we probably deal with it on a smaller scale, but we still face all of those similar challenges that that a Salt Lake, Las Vegas, Tennessee, all those places that have large metropolitan areas, we face those, or just a bit on a smaller scale. For us, it's a benefit where, because it is on a smaller scale, we can hopefully provide more resources throughout the city or the county to those individuals to help hopefully get them on the path that sees them be successful.
I get people that ask me a lot, and particularly when they know I'm going to be talking with police officers, about gangs in southern Utah. Are there gangs? Has the gang culture touched southern Utah? Is that something we have to deal with?
It's always kind of there on the peripheries, but I wouldn't say that wouldn't call it a gang problem, but to say that there are not those individuals who gather together and cause mischief in relative different ways, we still have those, but I call it an overwhelming gang problem at all, just those problems that we see, but again, they're kind of on the peripheries.
Bullying has been around since the beginning of time. If you went to school, you either bullied or got bullied, probably both. But there's something relatively new called cyberbullying. Is that something you have to deal with? And is it something that is unique to our modern culture and can be stopped?
Yeah, that is actually a very big challenge for us right now, especially in the intermediate and middle schools. We didn't grow up with social media. We didn't grow up with a lot of the access that kids have to each other. When we were kids, you get bullied and you get on the bus and you go home and that bullying stops until the next day, and you get a little bit of a reprieve from it. But now you can get bullied or bully somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it is a big challenge. And with all of the different social media platforms, I would say I deal with some type of cyberbullying almost daily.
Wow. Honestly, it happens to adults too, right? Somebody, you have those trolls or those commenters that are kind of mean out there, and I guess it's because they feel like there's a certain amount of anonymity in being mean on the keyboard. Stuff you would not say to a person's face, you will type about them a lot of times online, whether it's, Insta or Snapchat or Facebook or whatever the social media function is. It's crazy that it's become so ubiquitous, so common amongst us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough challenge for us, and we face, like I said, we try to deal with it as best we can, and oftentimes, but kids are resourceful. We don't give kids enough credit about their resourcefulness, and I know Officer Layton, but many of our other officers have dealt with that type of cyberbullying, and they deal with they block one platform or one name, and then all of a sudden two or three more from the same individual pop up. And it's a challenge for us, and we take it very seriously. But what we can often find time see is it's not necessarily always one-sided. It's then generally two kids engaging, and then there's one who becomes more relentless and won't let it stop. And it's a tough challenge. We try to face each of them and try to resolve the issue at its heart, rather than just telling them to stop talking to each other. But if there's an ongoing issue down at the core, we try to figure that out, because that's what's going to help this thing stop.
Sergeant Carson, I wanted to ask you about school resource officers and a couple of phases or pieces of that. First of all, in the selection of a school resource officer, as you're, you know, trying to decide, okay, we need for instance, you just added one this year at Career Tech. As you're going about selecting one, are there certain attributes, certain things you're looking for, and maybe certain attributes that you're trying to stay away from as you're looking to select a school resource officer?
Yeah, there are. There definitely are. Our biggest thing is we're looking for officers that are tactically sound, have a very good understanding of case law, juvenile law, that goes into that, but also the kind of those intangibles that we don't always are able to see. But, you know, can they communicate well? Do they have the ability to interact with different groups of people? And like I say, because our schools are such a wide demographic, that we need to be able to interact and identify and have conversations with kids, and also being able to have a tough conversation with a young person about behavior that we're trying to correct, and wanting them to be successful, and looking for that in an officer can sometimes have its challenges. All officers, I believe, are capable of being an SRO, but not all of them demonstrate 100% of all of those attributes. And some of them are just developed when you walk into a building and you have to interact with 1,500 kids. Some of those attributes come out, and so that maybe an officer didn't know that they had.
It actually popped up in my head while you were talking about that. I wonder, Do you recommend, or do you like having an SRO who might have a kid or a couple of kids in that school that they're working, or is that something that you don't really want to do?
It's not a disqualifier, but it can be tough. I think it can be not necessarily for the SRO, because I think our SROs, as being adults, they understand the dynamic that comes from that. But for a young person, it can be a bit of a challenge to know that their parent is a police officer, and now that parent is also a police officer within their building. We've had it before, but it's not a disqualifier, but it's a unique dynamic, 100%. So I know when I walk into my kids' school, I'm often associated with either one of my kids, and that I'm their dad, and so they recognize me in many ways.
Yeah. All right, I got another commercial break I'm going to sneak in here. When we come back, I want to ask both of you about the training that goes into becoming a school resource officer and the ongoing training that you do throughout your career. More with Sergeant Carson and Officer Layton after this time.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. It's 9:48, winding down the show. But I appreciate, again, Sergeant Carson and Officer Layton for being on the program today as we talk about school resource officers. Before we get back into it, I do want to mention today is Mayor Michelle Randall's birthday. It is City Councilman Daniel Larkin's birthday and Washington City Manager Jeremy Redd's birthday. They're all sharing February 27th as their birthday. My birthday is in like 3 days or something like that. So it's a good time of year. All right, guys. Hey, again, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate you spending some time with us. When we had the canine folks on, the canine handlers, and we talked about how the need for ongoing training for these canines, whether, you know, they're drug-sniffing dogs or dogs that will assist in apprehending suspects, I'm guessing ongoing constant training is something that's very important. Is that true, Sergeant Carson?
It is. It's a very important part of our program. It's something that I put at a high priority for our officers, to give them as much training, especially when it comes to juvenile and adolescent kind of behaviors and identifiers and risk factors, that we can help give our officers every tool to be successful when they interact with a young person. So, yeah, it's been a big focus of ours over the last couple of years, and I think it's paying off in the long run.
Officer Layton, you know, I think about training and with the jobs I've had. Even in radio, we go to these training classes, and they're almost always introducing new stuff, like, hey, you need to be aware of this, or this is one of those things you need to integrate into your daily work. Is it the same way when you get training as an SRO? Are you constantly getting introduced to new stuff, and it's like, oh man, another thing I gotta remember?
Yeah, for sure. Even just trends with kids' behavior and things like that is always changing. With the social media aspect of things, that's always changing, as well as even case law and different things. It seems like the last couple years, almost every year, there's been some type of new legislation that changes the way that we can interview kids, the way that we need to involve parents, the way that even Miranda rights for kids just this last year changed. So that is also just the laws surrounding how we interact with juveniles is ever changing as well. So we have to keep up on that.
We had a big show last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, about cell phone use in schools. I know the governor has sponsored some legislation that he'd like to get through to see the ban of cell phone use in classrooms, not necessarily in schools, but in classrooms. Do you have an opinion on that, Officer Layton?
Yeah, I think cell phones are a big problem in school, whether it be just kids spending time on them and not paying attention in class. I know at Snow Canyon Middle School, we have a cell phone policy that if you have your phone out in class, the teacher takes it and you have to pick it up from the office at the end of the day. And after a couple of cell phone violations, a parent has to come and pick it up from school. And
wow.
So we try to keep kids focused and paying attention in school. And I know every school is a little bit different, but it's definitely a challenge that we're all trying to tackle in one way or another.
I also wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, so I was doing a game at one of the local schools, a basketball game, and a couple of kids stood right in where the stairway was to the bleachers and just stood there, right, kind of crowding me in. And during a commercial break, I said, hey, you guys need to go sit down. And the one kid looked at me, stared me straight in the face and said, why should I? And I was like, I was kind of taken aback, because when I was a young man, if someone, especially someone obviously doing a job on the radio, whatever, told me to go sit down, my first reaction would be, okay, I better go sit down or at least get out of his way. And so I was, something else happened that surprised me. The kids left after a little while. And then about 10 minutes later, one of the kids' moms came up and started yelling at me while I was live on the radio, saying, did you talk to my kid? How dare you talk to my kid? I'm just wondering, I felt like there was a sense of entitlement with that kid and with that kid's parent, that they were getting after me when all I was trying to do was, number one, first of all, try to keep the law by keeping the stairway well clear. And number two, just, you know, I'm a professional trying to do a job, and I have a kid who obviously didn't have a lot of respect for that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know that I have specific thoughts, but it's a dynamic. And things are changing, and sometimes some of us older generations like myself, you know, we've got to be able to adapt to some of those dynamics and be willing to sometimes explain ourselves a bit more to a young person. I can tell you, when I was as a school resource officer, that was a big thing for me. It was I really had to take the time to explain myself and my actions and what I was doing a bit more to a young person. And whereas before, as you'd mentioned, you probably would have just moved and sat down or found a different place to stand. But a lot of these things sometimes just takes a bit more from us to hopefully help a young person recognize that we're not after them simply because they're young person that we're trying to help them navigate through the world, because there may come a time where they are told to sit down and move out of the way, and if they don't, they could face some consequences further on as an adult, and we want to try to help those kids navigate that.
Officer Layton, have you sensed any? I don't know if entitlement is the right word, but where parents would, you know, if their child does something, they would jump on their child's side before they would jump on authority's side. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah, it's, you know, we sometimes joke that we would rather deal with a bunch of middle schoolers than have to deal with their parents. But, you know, at the end of the day, we really try to look at it as a partnership, you know, between law enforcement, the school district, and the parents. You know, the old saying that it takes a village. And I think Sergeant Carson explained it perfectly, that, you know, sometimes we just need to explain our perspective, where we're coming from, why we are doing what we're doing. In general, just across the nation, I think you are seeing a lot more questioning of authority and those types of issues. And so if we can educate the kids and educate the parents, and I love talking to parents, I love having them come in, maybe not to be yelled at, but I love to get their perspective and then hopefully let them see my perspective. And at the end of the day, like I said, the goal is to raise these kids to be good, responsible adults and be educated.
One of the people I was telling the story to said, well, it had to be a girl, right? And I'm like, actually, yeah, it was a girl. He said, yeah, girls are more likely to ask why, because they want the reason, like you were saying, Officer Late, the reason behind the idea, and not just to, you know, because I said so, doesn't really work anymore, especially with young women. So, all right, let's talk about the SPEAR program a little bit before we go. Again, just kind of remind people, Sergeant Carson, what is the SPEAR program? What's your goal, and how do we get involved?
So our SPEAR program is our summer program that we want to have incoming sixth graders through the month of June. We have two sessions, and it'll run Monday through Thursday. We have a morning session and an afternoon session. Both are 4 hours where basically they get to interact with our SROs and some of our community partners that have come in and want to also interact and help to educate our young people as to some of the pitfalls and dangers and a little more resilience in their life. We rotate through every cone site within the city, so Snow Canyon, Dixie, Pineview, and then Desert Hills. That's through the month of June. And then in July, we'll have our 7th and 8th graders that will come through. And same thing, 4-hour morning session, 4-hour afternoon session, runs Monday through Thursday. And we'll rotate through all the cone sites again. Again, it's open to anybody that would like to come and join. You can register through the city website, through the recreation tab there. It is a free program for these young people to come and basically hang out with us for a few hours through the summer. And we've had a lot of success with it. Again, we want it to grow. We want it to be a model program that other agencies hopefully look at and go, hey, we'd like to replicate that, and we can do something like that. And we've already had other agencies from across the nation that have reached out to us and to some of these officers that are deeply involved in this program for how did we do it, all the pitfalls that we had along the way, but we found ways to be successful. And like I said, I really love this program and the officers that helped put it together. It was 100% our program, the SROs within our program that put this thing together and made it work. And then our collaborations with the Washington County School District, TDS, Southern Utah, or what, Southwest Health. So the health department down here and a bunch of other sponsors that have come in and companies that want to be involved with this program and with these young people to help build some resilience, have some fun, and get to know your SROs.
Very good. Thank you, Sergeant Carson. Officer Layton, Cops and Robbers. We got about 30 seconds. Tell us about it and how to get involved there.
Yeah, Cops and Robbers, May 18th. It's an awesome, fun race for the whole family. Sign up as a cop or sign up as a robber. Depends on if you want to chase somebody around or be chased. Free donuts at the end. You'll sign up at sgcity.org/races, and it is a blast.
It is a blast. It's coming up in May. And, guys, thanks for coming on today. It's been a great – I think we've learned a lot today. Looking forward to learning more, again, about the SPEAR program and much success there with the SPEAR program, Sergeant Carson. And hopefully you get lots of cops and a few robbers, too, for your races.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow morning.